Hello, and welcome to Red Rock Relationships, a podcast about communication. Let's unpack the relationships that we encounter in our daily lives and learn about what makes them tick. And now your host for Red Rock Relationships, Dr. James B. Stein.
Oh, hey. I didn't see you there. How did I get in this studio? How odd. Welcome back. I'm excited to be continuing is this our seventh season? I think it might be. Seventh season of Red Rock Relationships. And when I say season, I mean semester, but it is what it is. This semester, this season, we are continuing our discussion on red flags. As a quick summary, we first talked a little bit about ghosting. Then we talked about love bombing. And today we're going to talk about one of the most like stereotypical, classic red flags out there. We're going to talk about gaslighting. And to help me do that, I have recruited one Clint Graves, who is a visiting faculty member at the University of Miami at Ohio, which is always a trick question. But I know that because my former dissertation advisor, Dr. Mongeau, he worked there for quite some time. So that did not throw me off. Clint, thank you so much for joining the pod.
Thank you for having me.
Anytime, anytime. So one thing I like to do when we have new guests is just allow you a minute or two to sort of introduce yourself, discuss your background, maybe your area of research, anything you feel like you would want people to know. So I'll give you the floor and then we'll just get right into it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for having me on the podcast here. I always take the opportunity to talk about gaslighting and my research whenever I can. So like you said, I'm a visiting faculty at Miami University in Ohio. And I did my master's work at the University of Georgia under the direction of Jennifer Samp, who recently passed, actually. So I'm.
I heard about that. That was tragic. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yes, and so I will just say I miss her a lot, and I appreciate all the people that reached out and let me know. And so we'll move on from that. But she actually, a lot of the gaslighting work that we're going to talk about today formulated in her office with her staring at the ceiling. I can still remember it right now, her staring at the ceiling and just working through all this stuff with me. So I did my master's work there with her in undergrad at the University of Tennessee. And just a couple of publications on gaslighting. I've worked through a lot of the interpersonal and close relationship research and a lot of research in rhetoric and the philosophy of communication, which helped me really conceptualize gaslighting in a lot of different ways, which hopefully we'll get into some of that today. But yeah, I'm happy to be here.
Oh, we will. And I think gaslighting is a perfect one of those opportunities to fold in, you know, a lot of the like rhetorical, political, critical elements of especially like gendered violence. Mm-hmm. And so we may have to unpack that. Let's start with the basics before we jump into the deep end. Now, gaslighting is a term that's been used a lot in recent years. Really interestingly, it has shifted from the relational realm into the more political realm. And we'll see news pundits and politicians using the term when talking about their political enemies. Can we spend a moment here to both define gaslighting and then also explore how and where it might appear in various segments of society?
So gaslighting has a long, rich history. So like it gets its name from a play in 1938. But it sort of moved around in the 60s and psychoanalysis and got picked up in sort of pop psychology and self-help with Robin Stern, who's probably the most popular user of the term. But as you said, in politics, there's a huge spike in the use of gaslighting in popular culture and in politics. Probably, I think it was 2016, Lauren Duca, I think, wrote for Teen Vogue, Donald Trump is gaslighting America, which is one of the very first times you see it used. And she talks about all kinds of lies and things that Trump is accused of doing, right? But also Merriam-Webster like made it the word of the year in 2022, right? It's just, it's come to stand in for this sort of distortion of truth, right? Mm. As a wholesale term.
Yeah, it's really this act in which a perpetrator, theoretically, purposefully, right, manipulates a victim of sorts into questioning their reality, right? And so juxtapositioning the manipulator's false reality as equally as viable, or equally as feasible as the victim's mm-hmm. actual reality. And this harms people, right? It makes us question what's mm-hmm. true and what's not, and it can, you know, exacerbate mental health problems. And so, you know, I don't think it's a surprise that we're seeing it a lot in politics, because politicians' jobs are essentially to gaslight the American people. It's just been done a little bit more blatantly in recent years. But relationally, what we're traditionally talking about here is one individual kind of holding a false reality up against actual reality and trying to convince the other person that those two things are ostensibly equal. Is that right?
I mean, I would adjust that just a little bit. Mm-hmm. I would think it's not so much when we talk about gaslighting, and this was a huge thing that Dr. Samp and I, we went back and forth about this a lot. It's about, it's not necessarily that there's just disagreement, right? You've got two people competing with competing claims. It's disagreement that's rooted in something a lot deeper than just saying you're wrong. Hmm. It's saying that you're not even capable of being right. That's why you're wrong.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's not, you know, you say it's red and I say it's blue. It's you say it's red and I say you can't even possibly know what the color is.
Mm. Yeah. You've never even seen red. So how would you know? Yeah,
exactly. Like, what is red? Are you even sure it exists? Right. Like it's not just disagreement, which we'll get into that. I mean, I think Cynthia Stark was the one that she distinguishes gaslighting from mere disagreement. And mere disagreement, you know, we have conflicts all the time, we have disagreements all the time. But when you start arguing with a person's ability to make sense of reality, that's when gaslighting starts to appear in a communicational tactical form.
I see. No, that I appreciate that clarification. So I think this is a really good transition into my next question, because theoretically, there are some signs or correlations that we can probably draw. So given that gaslighting, as you just described it, is certainly an act of manipulation, how could we perhaps theoretically couch it? Like, for example, one of the things that just immediately strikes me is attachment theory, specifically in the communication discipline. And we've talked about this on the pod. We use like the four-factor theory of attachment, one of which being the preoccupied style, the style in which you obsess over your partner and your sense of self is like directly connected to them. And it leads to like, you know, obsessive intrusive behaviors. Is that a good mechanism through which we can view it? Is maybe something like interpersonal deception theory more appropriate or something else? What theories can we use to help couch our understanding?
I think, you know, when we talk about, let's say, like the dark side of communication, which sort of speaks generically about some of the more dysfunctional forms of communication and couches a whole bunch of theories, encompasses a lot of different things, you would see gaslighting sort of appear across a bunch of theories as a strategy, let's say, of communication, a strategy that's composed of tactics. Right. It's like it's a level. It's a behavioral dynamic. OK, it's a communication dynamic that requires the input of multiple actors to enact. It's like a little script. You know, you say this, I say that. Well, a lot of theories could benefit from looking at gaslighting. I mean, interpersonal deception theory or truth default theory, whichever sort of lane you choose to view communication deception through. Right. Both of them speak to, let's say, deception as a practice. Gaslighting is one possible way to deceive. It doesn't necessarily require deception, which is a point that I think a lot of people miss. A gaslighter could say something that's ostensibly true and still be gaslighting you with it. It doesn't, what's actually being said, and this is the larger point of my work, I guess you'd say, is that what's being said really doesn't matter. It's how it is justified, right? It's, you know, I'm correct and you may be correct, but if you're correct because, you know, you say that the other person can't possibly be correct, that really, it doesn't matter if you're telling the truth or not, right? So it's not that gaslighting would add to a theory of deception, trying to, you know, get at what deception truly is. It's just a way you might deceive. In the same way, you know, with a preoccupied attachment style, it's a way you might express that preoccupation, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a strategy of communication that is explicable through a bunch of different close personal relational theories. And it appears over and over again. And then, you know, you might even look at it through in the social psychological sense, you know, interpersonal violence, things like that. I mean, it shows up, you know, co-occurring with all kinds of psychologically abusive behaviors.
Nice. This makes me think of the conversation we were having last week or last episode where we talked about love bombing. I find a lot of overlap there. Like I can imagine someone saying, for example, like, well, no one's ever going to love you the way that I can love you, and you would be a fool to think that anyone could try, right? And so like that is simultaneously an act of love bombing and perhaps also an act of gaslighting. To say, like, you don't even know what love is, right, until you met me, right?
Right.
And I think there we kind of see some of the overt manipulative tactics that, you know, when you look at it from the outside, you're like, oh, this is so obviously manipulation. But when you're in a relationship, it can be a little bit harder to pick those behaviors out. And that's what I want to ask you about next. Unless, did you have any more theory stuff before we get to the more applied?
I'm a theory buff, so I like where we're going. Let's just do that.
Fair enough. Yeah, we could really get into the weeds with the theories if we wanted to. Yeah. But so, okay. So I think, would you push back on me if I described gaslighting as a red flag? Like, if you're dating and you saw gaslighting behaviors, are we okay with classifying that as a red flag?
It is a red flag. But the only issue, okay. So my only thing, and this is the last piece of sort of philosophical musing I'll do. It's not necessarily lying. Mm. Okay. So if somebody lies to you and you catch them in a lie, or cheats on you and you catch them, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, is a definitive thing that you can point to and say, well, you did the gaslighting is a dynamic. Hmm. In that you kind of have to, if you're the gaslightee, and we say gaslightee instead of victim because of this exact problem, you see, if you're the person being gaslighted, AKA the gaslightee, you kind of have to assent to it. It can't be done to you without you acting into it.
I see.
But you act into it sort of in the same way that a person being tortured acts into being tortured, if that makes sense.
Right, right. It's kind of like it takes two to tango sort of thing, but like one, but like your hands are duct taped to the person who you're dancing with. Okay.
Exactly. That makes sense. Like you may well be tangoing, but it's, you know, you don't want to be doing it, but you can't not. You're acting into it, though. You could act in another way, which is, you know, like I said, Robin Stern's whole thing is like, once you figure this out, once you like zoom out and see, oh my God, we're tangoing. Oh my God, we're being gaslighted.
Yeah.
Just leave, go away, you know, do something different. And that's the best advice that there is. But so it is a red flag, but it's not a red flag in that you can just kind of easily spot somebody doing it.
Right.
That makes sense.
Right. There's no one discernible behavior that's like, oh, that's your gaslight. Right. It's like you said, it's a dynamic. So
you might spot somebody trying to gaslight you.
Right. Exactly.
But if it's already happening, you've already acted into it. Mm-hmm. You know?
Okay. So with that in mind, because if the idea here is to avoid that situation, what, if any, precursors are there, or we might say orange flags? Like, are there any antecedents, things that signal that someone might engage in gaslighting at a future time that we can note and perhaps use to exit prior to the gaslighting, or no?
I mean, there's people have cataloged. This is something that has been written about a lot, just not. This is a great paper for somebody who wants to write it, by the way. There's a lot of things that have been cataloged across a lot of different literatures that just haven't been synthesized into a definitive list. A communication PhD somewhere should do this. But it's, you know, like, it comes from psychoanalysis stuff. It comes from the pop psych stuff. It comes from communication, from sociology. I mean, I could go on and on. People talk about this all the time. Actual behavioral things that happen. I mean, you can hear things like, oh, what are you, you're crazy. You know, that's a big one. Crazy making, right?
Right.
But just from a communication standpoint, I mean, I think about, because, you know, I come from that school of conflict and power research. Conflict and power research would let us, you know, when the conflict starts becoming dysfunctional, when you start entering things like demand withdrawal patterns, when you start seeing Goffman's Four Horsemen, right? When you start seeing narcissistic personality tendencies, these are the things, right? It co-occurs with a lot of traditionally psychologically abusive, emotionally abusive behaviors.
Okay, that makes sense to me. So there are some perhaps more telltale signs that can, I don't want to use the word predict, because as somebody who works with stats, that's a tough word to use in a situation like this, but there might be some more, like, you know, traditional behaviors that we are likely to observe prior to, you know what I mean? Like, we can sort of see them taking out the duct tape, right, to reference our previous analogy. Something like that, classical signs. I think this is kind of the problem with gaslighting, right? Because like you describe, a lot of the time you don't realize it's happening to you until you've been in it for quite some time. And of course, gaslighting is often accompanied by other manipulative tendencies, like, for example, removing you from your social networks so that you don't have other people who can, like, question the behaviors or the things that are being done to you. So once you're in it, it's really tough. And so I think looking for some of those more traditional, you know, manipulative strategies is a really good way to, you know, be a little bit more proactive about not even entering that environment in the first place.
Yeah. And then, you know, I think most people recognize as a gaslighting dynamic that they're in, mostly by the outcomes rather than the antecedents. So, you know, when it's too late to already recognize what's happening, you're already experiencing anxiety and depression and the whole host of psychological bad things that happen to you when communication starts harming you. And so once you start recognizing that, you can kind of piece together. Gaslighting a lot of the times is a retrospective sense-making tool, like, because the whole point of it is to dismantle your ability to make sense of things.
Right.
And so once you get away from it, once you separate yourself from it, once you connect to a social network that is helping you instead of hurting you, you start to be able to piece together how it happened.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of, you know, so it's difficult to see gaslighting coming. It just kind of hits you. Because again, you got to put yourself in the shoes of the gaslighter. It's not something they're doing to you, right? It's something that you're doing together.
Right.
Like you're going into this and you had all the best of intentions. Stern tells us, you know, people with a high capacity for empathy are the most vulnerable to gaslighting. People who are good people, in other words.
Yeah. No, because you want to believe what the other person is saying. You want to see it from their perspective.
You give them the time of day.
Right.
You give them the time of day. You know, like, oh, well, I guess maybe I do misremember that. That makes sense.
Right. Giving them the benefit of the doubt. It's your worst enemy.
Oh, goodness gracious. You know what? You maybe you are right. And then the next disagreement, you say, oh, well, I mean, you're the one who remembers things better than I do.
Right.
And then suddenly you're in it.
All right. So let's move on, because we've been talking so much from the perspective of you described this as, you know, the gaslighty. I like that terminology. I just want to spend a little bit of time talking about the other side of things, the gaslighter. So if we're thinking about ways in which we can get people to engage in and promote healthy relationships, I think one thing that we can do here is help distinguish something like gaslighting from more mundane, albeit potentially, like, you know, offensive or annoying behaviors, like what I would describe as being an ignorant schmuck, right? So, like, right, so at what point do we shift as an actor, as a gaslighter? At what point do we shift from that sort of, like, mundane deception or, like, mundane misunderstanding into, like, intentional psychological abuse? And then, of course, by extension, how can we catch ourselves doing that and perhaps prevent it?
You know, I like the idea of just being an ignorant schmuck, you know. I mean, ignorant schmucks could probably be gaslighters too. I don't know. But I think it gets back to this ultimate distinguishing factor of sort of what's being said. So if it comes down to, you know, it's not mere disagreement, like Cynthia Stark, you know, distinguishes, you know, it's not, I disagree with you and I think I'm right. It's, I think I'm right. And I think you can't possibly be right. You don't even have the ability to be right. And so it's for that reason that I'm right. Right. And once you start getting into that territory, that's when it turns into, gaslighting. And so, it really bridges the question of intentionality, you know? And so I'm in the camp of gaslighting isn't necessarily an intentional thing. And I would even go so far as to say it most of the time isn't. It's like people aren't nearly as clever as they think they are. Like, it's difficult to like decide you're going to gaslight somebody. Like, it has to, like, gaslighting as a dynamic emerges up out of a certain kind of power relation between people.
Right.
And this imbalance of power, there's a certain imbalance that enables somebody to succumb to the idea that their reality isn't as valuable to them as being one with this other person. Okay. And so nobody really decides on, you know, I'm going to gaslight this person into believing that they're crazy. Right.
Right.
It just sort of happens unintentionally. And I guess the big distinction I'm going to make, and this will tie it back into our theory conversation, Kathy Kellerman back in the early 90s wrote a paper about communication being inherently strategic, but primarily automatic. And that, to me, that is gaslighting. You are just proceeding in a strategic way, communication, gaslighting as a strategy. You really are making decisions that are actually harming the person you're gaslighting. Mm-hmm. But you're not really thinking about it, you know, and
right.
They're not really thinking about it. It's just happening. And so you kind of can't recognize it until you're in it. And you can certainly recognize it from the outside. That's a huge thing. If somebody else can name it for you, then you can kind of figure that part out. Therapists are good for that. That's ultimately, I think, what distinguishes the ignorant schmuck from the gaslighter is not the ignorance, but the schmuckishness, if you will.
One of my old professors called not ignorance, but ignore ants, right? It's like we just don't even pay attention to what we're doing, and that's kind of the problem. That's really interesting because I think it ties into what we've been discussing in previous episodes of like this like intentional effort to be mindful and to understand the perspective of other people and to like actively practice and improve empathetic tendencies in place of like self-serving tendencies, which aren't necessarily bad, but it can snowball pretty quickly when we get into that comfortable area of really only looking at the ways in which we can benefit from a situation.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good way of summing up. And again, it's not that I'm saying that a person who's gaslighting is innocent of the things they're doing. They're very much guilty.
Right.
It is a bad thing to do. It's just a situation in which these things are happening automatically and people are acting into them.
Yeah. And I think that the hegemonic nature of, you know, gendered relations feeds into this a lot because I think most of the literature reports on gaslighting in heterosexual relationships. And traditionally in those relationships, men hold more power and are therefore afforded more opportunities to gaslight, not necessarily that they're quote unquote better or more efficient at it, but just that it appears for them as an option more often.
Yeah, I mean, there's some research, I would say, that's a little bit to the counter of that.
Just interesting.
Emerging numbers that say, you know, women are better or gaslight more often men. But that's a huge question and area for exploration, I think. Communication scholars really need to take up is the gendered nature of gaslighting.
Yeah, I'd love to dig into some of that research. But unfortunately, we're out of time. So thank you so much, Clint, for being on the program. This was fascinating. It was great to learn about gaslighting.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
All right, next time we're going to talk about some obsessive behaviors. So until then, take care.
You've been listening to Red Rock Relationships, a podcast about communication. Thank you so much for giving us some of your time. If you'd like to be on the show or have questions for us, please send us an email to redrockrelationships@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Just search Red Rock Relationships. Thank you again. And remember, it all begins with good communication. This has been a production from a podcast studio.